Good morning and happy Easter. This is the traditional day that Christians celebrate the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. And since we believe that God is able to do that with Jesus, then we also believe that God, the same God, is able to do that with us by raising us from our own spiritual deadness. Amen? Do we believe that? Okay, I'm glad one person out there does. You don't have to cover up your mouth, you know, be proud to say that. Because that's why we come to Easter, by the way, don't we? All right? We don't come here and leave here spiritually dead. That doesn't make sense. This is Easter. It's about being risen from the dead. Now, this morning I want to talk about reaching for intimacy with Christ. You know, many of you have known the Lord for a number of years already. And some of you maybe grew up in the church. You heard many stories about Jesus. You have gotten pretty good at Jeopardy, perhaps. And over the years, you have heard many people talk about Jesus and different testimonies. And so you have a decent exposure to Christianity. But is that real intimacy with Christ? And that's the thought that I want to present to you this morning. Intimacy with Christ. You know, on the first Easter morning, some of the disciples, they saw the resurrected Christ. And they went around. They couldn't contain this great, tremendous news. So they went around saying, you know, we have seen the Lord. He is risen. And they keep saying over and over again, everywhere they went, he is risen. We have seen the Lord. But then a disciple named Thomas, who unfortunately was known only for one thing in his life, he had doubted their testimony. And so I want you this morning to turn with me to the Gospel of John, chapter 20. I'm going to take a little closer look at this. Chapter 20 of the Gospel of John, verse 24 to 28, under the subtitle, Jesus Appears to Thomas. Now Thomas, called Didymus, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, we have seen the Lord. But he said to them, unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my finger where the nails were and put my hand into his side, I will not believe it. A week later, his disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them. So the doors were locked. Jesus came and stood among them and said, peace be with you. Then he said to Thomas, put your finger here. See my hands. Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe. Thomas said to him, my Lord, my God. Lord Jesus, Lord, this may not be the first Easter for many of us. Perhaps we have been in your house for a number of years already. And Lord Jesus, like the words that are behind me of inherit more, the better things, Lord Jesus, we come to this Easter having that desire. Lord, we want to embrace fully and intimately the Jesus that has experienced the resurrection. So that as we follow you, Lord, that we in our lives and our Christian walk can also experience a resurrection. A resurrection in our lives that only you can bring us to. So, Lord Jesus, we ask you once again that, Lord, through the Holy Spirit that lives inside of us, that your spirit truth may illuminate to us truth that perhaps was written about 2,000 years ago, but, Lord, truth for us today, that we can live for tomorrow. So, Lord Jesus, we ask, Lord, for mercy. We ask for grace. Give us, Lord, understanding into your word that our lives may be transformed through your power. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You know, a Christian's struggle with doubt is really not isolated to Thomas. He's not the only one. You know, all of us here have similar struggles from time to time in our Christian walks. You know, one particular commentary, he describes a difference between doubt and unbelief. He says this, that doubt is often an intellectual problem. We want to believe, but the faith is overwhelmed by questions and by problems, but we want to believe. Unbelief is a moral problem where we simply will not believe. And it doesn't matter how much of the truth you are exposed to, your minds have made up already. I'm not going to believe. So there's a difference between doubt and unbelief. And some Christians openly share their struggles with doubt, but perhaps many keep it to themselves. And as we read our scripture today, we could see, you know, with our imagination that scene here where Thomas is in that room, and Thomas could have easily kept his doubt quietly to himself. And then when people were saying, amen, you know, the Lord has risen, he could have just joined in with the rest of them. Praise God, the Lord is risen. But meanwhile, harbored that doubt that's within him. So he could have went along with everybody else at church, but he chose not to, you see. And so Thomas represents those of us who already have the basic things, the basic knowledge about the person of Jesus Christ, but wonder if we really know him intimately and personally. And according to Webster's Dictionary, intimacy is defined as marked by close association or contact. So when we desire intimacy with Christ, what is our typical path towards that? You know, we try to get closer to God through a couple of typical ways. Then let me just share with you three typical ways that we go about this. The first one would be, you know, through reading and studying and accumulation of more Bible information. So this is where we begin a Bible reading program, perhaps, that we would read the Bible from cover to cover within X amount of time. And, you know, I'm sure many of us have done that. And we try to perhaps study deeply in a particular book in the Bible. And people may go to another church to get fed better because, you know, the church back here is not giving them enough meat. And so you go around listening to MP3s of well-known preachers. And on top of that, you may read another Christian book so that you can get more information about God that you previously did not know. And so your mind is constantly trolling around for new information about God. And none of these things are wrong. Far be it from that. None of it is wrong. And all these things I have personally pursued myself, as perhaps you have as well. But is that necessarily intimacy with Christ? Another typical way is perhaps through supernatural experience. That whenever God comes closer to us, we cherish those moments where his presence is manifested in us. And it kind of hits us in different ways. You know, for me, it's uncontrollable weeping at times where my heart just feels like it is completely being melted down before the Lord's presence. And perhaps for some others, you know, you cannot move or momentarily, you feel like you're frozen. And maybe for others, it's this indescribable feeling of peace and deep joy. For some, it feels like a huge burden being lifted up when Christ comes near you. And so it's tempting to view supernatural experience the same as intimacy with Christ. And I'm uncertain if that is the case. You know, a few weeks ago, I went to visit a church out on Long Island where people lined up so that the pastor could kind of touch their forehead, you know. And it was a worship service. There was a lot of dancing, a lot of shouting, a lot of emotional expression. And so it would seem like, you know, people would line up there and the pastor would go over there and there was a lot of speaking in tongues, there was dancing, and he would put the hands around the forehead, you know, and then he would say something in tongues and he would push them back. And then people would fall back. And then they're on the floor shaking. Or they're in a trance, and the ushers, they had this thing organized. The ushers would have blankets there, you know, church blankets, you know, and they would cover them up, you know, for the ladies, I guess, for the dresses, because they're on the floor in this trance. And it would seem like this worship experience would not be complete if someone did not fall down in a trance. Perhaps that's the intimacy that people are looking for. Now, another way people would go towards intimacy is that they would find it through maybe more spiritual disciplines. What I mean by that is, you know, if I worship more, then that's got to lead to intimacy. If I pray more, if I fast more, you know, in the past, I would pray more by forcing myself to focus in praying for 15 minutes. No matter what, if I even have nothing to say, I'm going to sit there for 15 minutes and extend it to 30 minutes. You know, it's like I'm preparing for some kind of race or marathon, you know. And I'm trying to stretch my stamina in the prayer closet. And perhaps we could do that with fasting as well, where you fast more often, you fast longer. You go for, you know, beyond 24 hours, you go for 48 hours of fasting. And after that, you go for 3 days. And then perhaps if that's not satisfying enough, you would say, man, I want intimacy with Christ. I'm going to go fast for a week. That's the big leagues. Now, there's real grace that comes from spiritual disciplines. But even that, I am uncertain if intimacy comes automatically by doing those things. Take, for instance, if you've been here for 20 years, some of you have been here for more than 20 years, some of you have been here less than 20 years, but let's just say, arbitrarily, we say 20 years. If you've been in church for 20 years, then that means, think about it, most likely you have heard at least 1,000 sermons. That's a lot of sermons. And your ears have heard at least 41,000 minutes of preaching. You have been part of communion 240 times at least. That you have perhaps witnessed many, many baptisms and testimonies. And you have, if you've gone to this church for 20 years, participated in at least 3 Bible Jeopardy games. Okay? And yet, intimacy with Christ may still be elusive to you. So like Thomas, you feel like there is so much more out there of Jesus Christ, but yet, it's got to be more than what you have heard, than what you have read, than what you have seen. And Thomas, despite how history and tradition has painted him, we see that he has this holy desire for intimacy. Now, if there is a holy desire within you for intimacy with Christ, then really consider yourself richly blessed by God. Now, why do I say that? Because where else does this come from, this holy desire for intimacy? It doesn't come from Satan. It doesn't come from the world that we live in. The world that we live in does not inspire that. You know that. And the flesh within us draws us naturally away from intimacy and not towards God. It comes from God's hand. So you have that holy desire for intimacy with Christ, then that's a blessing from God's hand. You know, like Moses, after we have walked with God for a period of time, there is still this yearning for more of Him, more from God than just the knowledge of God and seeing God's work. You know, the Bible tells us that Moses, you know, cries out to God after, you know, all the experiences of the Red Sea, all the miracles, but yet Moses cries out to God, God, you know, show me your glory. In other words, you know, God, I want intimacy with you that cannot be satisfied by any other way. The miracles are fantastic, and there are plenty of miracles. And I love your word, the Ten Commandments, but I want to know you intimately. Show me your glory. So we're not talking about superficial knowledge here. Because Moses knows all that already. He wrote the first five books in the Bible, according to most scholars. But there is more, and I got to have it. And so our scripture reading today in Psalms 84 was written by these sons of Korah, in a little detail there. And the sons of Korah were special musicians in God's temple, that for generation after generation, they would help provide worship music for the services that they were having in Jerusalem. So they were like the praise team, where their parents were part of the praise team, and generations after that, they had great-grandfather who was part of the praise team. So you got several generations of musicians specializing in this particular ministry. And so you would think that after having Christ in your family tree for all those generations, you're pretty satisfied with your level of intimacy with Christ. But no. Look at what Psalms 84 says. It says that my soul yearns, even faints, for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. If you have a holy desire for intimacy with Jesus, then God has indeed blessed you. It is better than to be spiritually complacent to the point where, you know, your interests have kind of moved on to somewhere else, even though you're still going through the motions of church and going through the motions of Christianity. That's the worst thing. And so here this morning, Thomas, despite his issues with doubt, he had this internal holy desire to know more and to seek intimacy with Christ. And so in John 14, now we all know this particular verse where Jesus says, you know, I am the way, the truth, and the life. But did you know that, you know, that was an answer to a question that was raised up by this disciple named Thomas? Because it was Thomas who asked Jesus the question, you know, Lord, we don't know where you are going. How can we know the way? All right? He had that desire for intimacy even back then. So Thomas always had a desire to reach closer to God before and after the resurrection. And I think Jesus saw beyond his struggles with doubt that there is a person here in front of him that seeks genuine intimacy. Now, we don't know why God waited for a while to address this, but we find that in verse 26, after a whole week has passed, Jesus shows up and he singles out Thomas. And he says something just for Thomas. Can you imagine that scene where all the disciples were there and Jesus supernaturally pops into a locked room and he walks right up to Thomas and he's got something to say to Thomas. And verse 27, there is more going on here than just a show and tell object lesson with getting Thomas to believe. I think there's a deeper lesson in this. You see, God was challenging Thomas to discover intimacy with Christ by touching his physical body and reaching deep into his heart. Jesus is saying to him and is saying to us, you know, don't stop at just touching my hands. Reach into my side. Go all the way until you have touched my broken heart. Let me describe to you what that means. You know, as a kid, my grandmother used to buy a few dozen crabs during crab season. And I know some of you like crabs. Who likes crabs? There you go. More than just a few people. You like crabs. And it's been several years since she passed away, and I believe she's with the Lord. But I can still remember her famous stir-fry crab Cantonese style with all the ginger and the scallions. And she would go and, you know, in Chinatown, buy a couple dozens, and she would bring it home and empty out this brown paper bag full of lively crabs and put them in the sink. And she would tell me, in Cantonese, of course, you know, that the crab claws are dangerous. Be careful. So I looked at the blue crabs, and they look lively indeed. You know, they're like, you know, like this, you know, like, right? And so these crabs, you know, I look at them and they're so small. And I'm so big, you know? And they may have these little claws, but I have these powerful hands. And my hands are bigger than some of these crabs. So what do boys do when you tell them about some danger? You dance around the edge of danger, don't you? Right? You're not dumb enough to dive right in. I mean, some are. But most of us just dance around the edge of danger. So I taunted these crabs by poking them in the eye, you know, as they go like this, and I'll pull right back out. And I'll do it faster than they could react, you see. It was a challenge. It was fun. It was entertaining. Don't try this at home. But it was fun until, you know, there was another crab on the side here that I wasn't focused on. I didn't see that crab. And he grabbed my pinky when I was working on this crab. And so he pinched me so hard that I must have yelled out something like, wowzers, or something corny like that, because it was so much pain. You know, I now know intimately the danger of what my grandmother had told me. And to this day, I have healthy respect for crabs, especially the live ones. And like with those crabs, I had the information about danger. Someone told me about it, and I heard a testimony from another, just like Thomas did. But only when I reached for it myself, then I found out how true that information was. And so in essence, Jesus is saying to Thomas here, if you really want to know me intimately, reach into my side until you have reached my heart. You will know me when you know my heart. And so after Thomas reaches into the side of Christ, the Bible says that this is what Thomas says, that he says, my Lord, my God. Jesus is no longer this topic at church. He is my Lord and my God. Used to know about him through Sunday school, but now he you know, there's a real relationship that you have with him that no one can take away from you. No matter what circumstances you're going through, you know the intimacy of Christ if you're reaching to his heart. And you know his heart. You're not just hearing about it or reading about Jesus in some book. Now he lives inside of you as your God and your Lord. And Jesus is not just part of the culture, the church culture that you belong with. Now it's internalized. So Christ is saying to you this morning, on Easter morning, if you really want to know me intimately, then touch my physical body, which is the church. In other words, if you touch people in my name, you will know me intimately. Reach out and touch what pain feels like when you love like Christ did. That every time you extend yourself in a Christ-like way in loving others, you taste another dosage of Christ. And as you actively serve God's kingdom, he is revealed to you in that process. And this is an idea that sometimes we miss. We think that to grow in faith means to know more about the Bible. You know, the Bible, it is the Word of God, no doubt. The Bible is just a means to the end. The end, or the final product, is that God wants to see in you a Christ-like person with loving actions. You see, Bible knowledge helps us to get there, but you still need to reach out and touch the body, which is the church. You know, in our NIV text here, the command of reach out your hand, as we read it in the English, it comes from a Greek word that means to lunge forward or to go all the way. And the Greek word baleo, which is where we get the English word ballistic, right? As in shooting out, lunging forward. That's the word baleo. And so you can only know him, you can only know Christ so much by listening to a weekly sermon. And a token pursuit of God will only get you a religion, but not an intimate relationship that your heart deeply desires. So Jesus tells Thomas, go all the way to my side. Keep reaching in. Lunge forward until you have reached my heart. It was almost as if God was saying to you and I this morning that this is what happens when you touch my wound. Feel my broken heart for lost people, and you will know me intimately. Taste the rejection caused by standing for the Father's truth, and you will know how it is like. Reach out in loving the unlovable, and you will know how the love of Christ feels like. Forgive people after injustice has been committed unto you, and you will know what it's like to be in my shoes. Let your hand give while getting nothing back. Then you will know what it's like to be like me. Lay yourselves down for the purpose of God the Father, and you will experience a resurrection just like I have. You see, that's the intimacy that I think some of us are really desiring. You know, let's be honest with each other here. Unless you reach out and try to touch another life for Christ, you can't really know him. You know, if Thomas, after hearing this from Jesus, that he just stood there and kept his hands to his side, not reaching out, that he just stood there with this new information that he got, I don't think he would know Christ intimately. He had to go reach out. And the Apostle Paul, you know, he cries out for intimacy as well. We read about this in Philippians chapter 3, verse 10, where he says, you know, I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of sharing in the suffering, becoming like him in death, and somehow to obtain the resurrection from the dead. I want to know Christ. And so Paul was someone who has read all the Christian books already. And as a former rabbi himself, he had all the seminary training that one could have. He has all the degrees already. And he's the one that saw the supernatural bright light. And he heard audibly the voice of God. But he realizes that intimacy only comes when your heart and the heart of Christ is side by side. You know, 1 John 4:8 puts it this way. And this is a verse that always blows me away. It says this: whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. If you do not reach out to love your church family, how much do you really know God? You know, it sounds like to me the same thing, you know. To love is the same thing as to know God. You can't separate the two. And it sounds like you don't have to know a whole lot about the Bible to know God then, if that's the case. You see, Jesus is not looking for theologians among us. Theologians are great for Bible trivia and for Jeopardy, I guess. But people with love are great for his kingdom. And he is looking for people that are willing to reach out to love just like Christ did. And that's where the intimacy is at. You know, our church, you know, we have different ministries going on. A lot of ministries where all of us can serve the physical body of Christ, where we can reach out and touch the body of Christ, just like Thomas did. I mean, there are short-term missions trips over the years, whether you are participating, going there and touching the lives on the front lines, or maybe you are praying and you are financially supporting them. Whatever it is, that's an opportunity as well. And there's a lot of special events that happen here in this church. There are opportunities to love one another by preparing the food or organizing something or driving people around or maybe cleaning up or even like this morning's announcement for the retreat committee. You see, And God has always given us, this church, over the past few years, precious souls in the lives of the outreach kids from the community center. And this summer, as the weather's getting warmer, this summer will be another busy summer where you will have the redeemed people of the Lord, that's you and I, the redeemed people of the Lord relating with the unsaved. And your involvement is not just manual labor that adds to nothing. You see, the way God sees it, he is seeing his servants. He is watching his servants serving his purpose. He sees a church with people reaching into his side, the body of Christ, reaching all the way up until they reach the heart of Christ and they will know God intimately. Let us all reach out to touch the heart of Christ in whatever ministry, in whatever opportunity that God has placed in front of you. And remember what 1 John 4:8 says, that whoever does not love does not know God. And that puts conviction to my heart, and perhaps it has the same impact on you as well. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we acknowledge, Lord, that you died and the Heavenly Father resurrected you into life, not just for us to have more Bible information. And it's not even just for us to be saved to go to heaven after we die. Lord, all that is true, I suppose. But Lord Jesus, you died and you resurrected so that we can follow your footsteps, so that we may know God intimately in ways that was previously not offered in the Old Testament. Lord Jesus, help us as a church, Lord, to not only just touch your hands and to be satisfied with just the superficial of Christianity, but Lord, let us touch your feet as well. Let us touch your side as well. Let us reach in there, lunge forward, and to pursue your heart, so that as we know your heart, then we know the heart of Christ and we have intimacy with you. Lord, that is our desire. That's what you have placed into this church, and that's what you have blessed some of the people here that want intimacy with you. Lord Jesus, will you fulfill that promise to us? Bring us, Lord, to that place where we know you, Lord, at that level of intimacy. Thank you, Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen.